Blog Talk Radio.
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching, I'm just trying to spit knowledge and the knowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart cool. That's how I do.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
Well, folks, welcome to another Parents Coaching Parents Network show here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, M.H. Scott, and as always, I'm going to try to promise you another wonderful show. What I want to try to do and what I like to do, I'll just do a brief recap from a Father's Day event. A Father's Day show that we did last weekend. So it was a little difficult. I know I had some technical difficulty going on due to there was a show that we was actually trying to do while on the road, which I know now I'm very limited on access. So therefore, I will be cutting down on attempting to do my shows on the road, as I have done previously. But what I like to, like I said earlier, is just recap on, our show last week, talking about fathers being involved in the game, talking about fathers being part of the sports process. You know, not only just coaching your child, but being supportive of your child, being part of that process and letting them know to the point where, hey, you are there, thick or thin, rich or poor, sweet, sad, sour, sweet. You're there for them to support them in their endeavors as they try to move forward in the sporting industry. A couple things that I mentioned early on was, it's not necessarily that we always have to try to be the coach. If we're not coaching the team and we're not actually a part of the coaching staff, then do we really have a place, in the coaching tree as far as trying to make corrections out there on the floor? Dad, I need y'all to really and truly hear me on this. I really need you to really and truly understanding what I mean by this. I need you to pull back a little bit, get to the point where you're just there as a supporting cast, be it a win or a loss, be it a practice session or whatever the case may be, you're there as a supporting cast. And being the supporting cast, you have to remember, at the end of the day, at the very end of the day, you're there to make sure that your child is getting the best out of that situation. So what I wanted to do, I wanted to play a previous broadcast piece from a show that I had the opportunity to listen to and be a part of previous weekends ago. And they talked about something that we talked about later on that day. But what I wanted to do, I wanted to just play a little bit of that And then hopefully I can get your take on some of the things that you hear. And I say that because this show was a very interesting show. It gave a different perspective than what some of us encounter when our children are playing inner city sports. So check this show out. Give me your thoughts, and then from there we can dialogue on that. And when we choose the dialogue, you can give us a call at 917-889-8095. I'll say that number again, 917-889-8095. Check out this show from a friend of mine, Coach Wolf.
This is the Sports Edge with Rick Wolf on your flagship station for New York sports, The Fan, Sports Radio 66 and 101.9 FM, WFAN, New York.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Rick Wolf's Sports Edge. I am your host, Rick Wolf. You know what's hard to do if you're a parent? When you go to your kids' games with great enthusiasm and expectations? Well, now, this may sound incredibly obvious to many of you, but the truth is, it's really, really, really hard to sit in the stands or to stand on the sidelines and watch your son or daughter perform during crucial moments of the game. Now, to be sure, if you're like most moms and dads, it's both thrilling as well as totally nerve-wracking to watch your son or daughter get up to bat in a baseball game in a close situation, or watch them go to the free throw line in a close game, or to watch them be the goalie in a soccer match when the score is tied and the other team is threatening to score. Now, of course, many parents simply release their inner anxiety by cheering loudly for their kid to do well, or perhaps by saying a quiet prayer that their kid will come through when the pressure is on. Others, though, have a very difficult time. They simply stand off to the side from all the others and do their best to swallow their nervousness. I mean, they are nervous for their kid. Now, lots of former top athletes have noted over the years it's much more difficult to be a parent and to watch one's child play than to have played as an athlete themselves. And I will tell you, I feel the same way. I mean, I love playing sports when I was growing up. I was competitive. I had a certain amount of success. And, you know, I got nervous before I played in games. But once the contest started, I was able to turn my pregame jitters into a focused drive to compete and to try and play well. And I felt very confident of my skills during close games. Sure, you felt the pressure, but I was able to my way of thinking, control what I was doing and was in charge of my actions. But as a parent, well, that's different, and it's difficult. When it's watching your kid compete in sports or giving a speech in a school auditorium or performing a major role in the school play or giving a solo performance in a concert, as a mom or dad, you instinctively hold your breath, you try to smile bravely and look positive, and you hope that your son or daughter comes through in the clutch. And most times, of course, they do. We then exhale, we smile, and we celebrate. But let me ask you this. What do you do when they misfire? They strike out. They let in the winning goal. They screw up their performance. Your heart, of course, immediately aches. You're not sure what to say. Do you look for rationales or alibis as to why your kid didn't perform or didn't play well? And do you feel, or let me ask you this, and I see this a lot, do you feel compelled, standing on the sidelines, to immediately yell out sharp criticism to your youngster during the course of the game, as if though you need to let the coach and all the other parents standing around that you know just what happened on the field, and it was an extreme rarity for your kid, and that somehow you need to confess to the world that you know that your kid did not do a good job. Now, I want to talk about this morning. Again, what you say to your kid, how tough it is when things aren't going well, how do you handle this? And we've talked many times on the show about the post-game analysis, but I want to take this a step further. Our toll-free line, of course, is 1-877-337-6666. That's brought to you by Mohegan Sun Connecticut, Mohegan Sun Pocono, and Resorts Atlantic City. You know, this kind of yelling approach from the sidelines, that doesn't work either, of course. It just makes everybody who's at the game feel uncomfortable. And then when the game is over, you want to talk with your child and console them if they had a bad game. But what do you say? How do you give them the pep talk, the magical words, the feelings that they want to escape from? How do you handle all this? Do you simply tell your youngster to just shake it off? Don't worry, you'll do better next time. That it's only a game, not to sweat it. You know, any other cliches that come to mind which really don't carry much weight. Or do you talk about the fact that, you know, these are the things you're going to have to work on and just suck it up and deal with adversity. That's part of playing sports. I'm curious as to how you handle this. I mean, do you, on their hand, do you talk about the plays of the game which they did well? Or do you just say nothing at all and let them just basically fight through their own disappointment? This is a very tricky kind of psychological approach, and it really is sort of sports parenting 101. What do you say? It's easy, obviously, to praise your kid. They have a good time. They had fun. They had a good game. But what do you say to them when things did not go their way on that particular day? And you can see the disappointment in their eyes as they come off the field. 1-877-337-6666. Let's start our conversation this morning with our good friend Ed over in Elizabeth. Ed, good morning.
Hey, Rick. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. About these type of situations, I'm going to share a situation, what my father used to do when myself and my two brothers played high school baseball.
Mm-hmm.
He would go down the foul line, mind his own business, and just watch the game.
Mm-hmm.
When we'd come home that night, the only thing he would ask us, did we have fun? And if we, you know, 99.9% of the time we said yes. But if it wasn't the way we said it, he still never interfered. But if we had said to him, you know, Dad, can we talk to you? He would tell us something, but he would never say, don't go against your coach and all that stuff.
Right.
He was just happy just to watch us play and take 3 hours from his work as a car salesman just to come watch us play and all that stuff.
And Ed's curious, you say your father would basically sort of isolate himself down the foul lines. He would not
say. Absolutely. Now, I'm in a situation, I'm not married, but I have a nephew who plays college baseball and a niece who plays high school baseball.
Uh-huh.
I mean, high school softball, excuse me.
Right.
And I'm close to him. I enjoy going to watch him play and all that stuff. And I still take my father's approach. I go down the foul line, mind my own business, just to be there and enjoy the game. And like yesterday, my niece was in a tournament. I gave her a call, how are you doing and all that stuff. And she had been struggling it, and then she says, I'm not getting a break. I'm hitting the ball right there. I said, it's going to come. Just keep working hard and all that stuff. And I don't try to talk to them after a game. If they want to talk to me about something, they know that I'm always there for them to try to help them out or give them encouragement and all that.
Right, right. Well, that's something I want to talk about, you know, and that is the fact that it's one thing if the kid wants to come and talk to you after the game. But for the most part, when the game is just finished and it's settling in and the dust is clearing, good time to sort of for parents and relatives to sort of sit back and keep their distance. Ed, thank you as always for the call.
Have a good day.
Take care. You know, and that's something, the timing of all this, because you got to be able to read your son or daughter, and there's always a sense of a parent to want to rush up and start talking. And sometimes, you know, you just let the things settle. Let things calm down a bit. Let's move on. Let's go over to Jersey City. John, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Good morning. How you doing, Rick?
Good, John.
Two things. My father gave me something that helped me throughout my entire life, and it was simply this. He said, do your best. And if you do your best, that's all you can do. And it applies in life, in school, and it applies on the ball field.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is that I'm 63 years old, so I grew up in a time when all we did in the summer was play sandlot baseball.
Mm-hmm.
So we prepared ourselves by playing every minute of the day so that when we got to the Little League field, we were already ready to play.
Right.
And the repetition, that playing every day, the repetition. I remember one day the coach saying to me, I caught a high fly ball in right field. And he goes, that was a great catch. To me, it was something I did in my neighborhood every day.
Correct.
Yeah. So the repetition of playing ball, of being out there or playing whatever sport you're in, and the idea that if you give your best, that's all that can be asked. And after that, let's go have a slice of pizza. That's it.
John, those two pieces of insights are terrific, and thank you for the call. You know, that's correct. I mean, one is, and I've heard this as well. I mean, from parents, this is age-old advice. When you talk to your youngster, you know, whether it's playing sports or going to school and taking tests, the first line is, do your best and take pride in your accomplishment and your achievements. And make sure when you get ready to take an exam or you go out to play in a game, you are prepared. Just hoping and praying that you'll be lucky that day, that doesn't cut it. You have to be able to be prepared to go out so you can do your best. And to John's other point, repetition. I mean, that's true. I mean, if you might go out, I mean, for years and years and years, when I was a kid playing ball as well, yeah, you know, the game itself was sort of fairly... just one sort of like a blip, because in terms of all the practice of taking ground balls or shagging fly balls or taking batting practice, I mean, you still constant repetition. You know that you had honed your skills, so you'll get into a game situation. You have done these kind of, competitive athletic skills many, 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 many times. It's not going to be like a situation where it's new or different. You've caught a million fly balls. You've caught a million ground balls. And that is repetition. And that's something, again, I think that parents today need to remind kids, if you want to get better and feel confident and do your best, you're going to have to be able to work at these skills over and over and over again in practice. We're talking this morning about the emotional difficulty of parents not only going out and watching their kids play, and of course we all love watching our children play in youth sports, amateur sports. It's thrilling, it's exciting, it's wonderful. Yet it's kind of tough when it's your kid who has to perform in the clutch, and sometimes things don't go right, and the question is, what do you do? How do you handle that situation? Not just as a parent, but let's face it, many times the parent is also helping out as the coach, and that can get things complicated as well. Now, so far in the first segment, we had a couple of really good suggestions. Always remind our kids before they go out and compete in any kind of sporting event to always do their best, because you can't control who's going to win or lose, but you can control what kind of effort you put into the contest. And if you do your best, that at least will make sure that you give a good accounting of yourself. And of course, after the game is over, when the kids had a difficult game, you know, what do you say? What do you do if you're the parent? Do you just give the kid some space and give him a pat in the back or a hug, and then hold off to maybe later in the day or perhaps the next day to talk about the game? But how do you handle these kind of difficult parenting situations? And again, if you're the coach, how do you handle that as well? 1-877-337-6666 is our number. Let's return to our callers. Let's go to Staten Island. Steve is standing by. Steve, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, Steve.
Thank you. I'm a coach for about 15 or 20 years, and I remind my players that Ted Williams, one of the best players in the game, failed 6 out of 10 times in his year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's okay to fail. You'll get him the next time. He said, this is a game that's kind of made for you to fail. So it's okay, and we'll get him the next time. That's what I tell my players.
Well, you know, and of course, obviously baseball, perhaps the most difficult of all the sports to play, Steve. And as you say, you know, if you hit 300, you are, or 400 in Ted's case, you know, you're failing most of the time. So it is important, because kids don't really, at a young age, don't understand how difficult it is to succeed. But again, it's a tough lesson for kids to absorb that intellectually when they get up in a tough and a close situation, and they strike out or pop up. I mean, even though they say, yeah, okay, it's all about failure, it's hard for that lesson to sink in sometimes.
I think it helps. I think it helps us as parents and coaches. But you're right. I don't know if they really get it, but at least it helps us. You know, we said something and we didn't go. You know, just say it without saying anything.
Yeah, it's an important lesson, but I do fear it takes a number of years for it to sink in. As you said, also, I wonder sometimes if the parents fully embrace or understand just how difficult it is to succeed in sports, particularly in a sport like baseball. Steve, thanks for the thought. Appreciate it.
All right, have a good day.
Take care. Let's move on. Let's go to Island Park. Mike, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Hi, good morning, Rick. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes,
great
sir.
Show. Love it.
Thank you.
I have two kids, son and a daughter. They both play baseball or softball. And I'll only say one thing to them when they get off the field if they fail, and that's I'm proud of the way you performed today. And I leave it up to them to follow that up. Sometimes they'll be silent. Sometimes they'll say, well, I didn't do my job. And I'll remind them that it's team sport. There are 7-9 innings. There are a lot of opportunities, and you're not the only player. So I'll ask them, do you think you did your best? And they'll almost always say, yeah, I tried my hardest. And I say that's all we can do.
Mm-hmm.
I fail at work sometimes, too. And as long as I can look myself in the eye and say I tried my hardest, that's all we can do, and we move on from that.
Mike, that's obviously a very sound advice. And, it's the kind of thing that is reassuring to kids because there's no judgment, there's no critique, there's no sense of giving them a report card after their performance. And it does take some of the sting away from the sense of frustration or failure or disappointment. It's a good thing to say to the kids because, and particularly if it's done in a very sincere manner, excuse me, so they know that you've been there yourself and you know how difficult it is. And it just sort of smooths things a little bit because, it's just it can be potentially a very awkward, very difficult kind of situation for a parent to talk to their child.
I just want to make sure you reassure them that failure is part of life, right? You're not going to be successful 100% of the time. None of the greatest players ever were. And no one ever is. So I'll be more upset with them if they didn't give their best effort on a test or at school, but I'm never disappointed in them. And I think part of what, you know, from the kids' standpoint is they feel they let people down.
Right.
When that is that is the furthest thing from, I mean, this is sports. It's not grades, it's not work, it's not family life. You never disappoint me on the field, ever.
Well, and to that point, it does take time. It takes years for kids in sports to understand and to absorb that lesson. Sometimes you have to sit down with your youngster and say, look, yes, you are talented. You are good at this sport, whether it's baseball or softball, whatever sport it may be. But on any given day, your opponent has the same dreams as you do. And sometimes your opponent was a little better that day than you were.
Tip of the cap. You got to tip the cap sometimes to better players and better teams.
And sometimes that does happen, and it's no slight or any, you're not trying to be derogatory to your child. But you say, you know, that other team was pretty good today. And they had a pretty good pitcher. They had a pretty good kid was pretty good at shortstop. Their goalie was excellent. They had some kids that could really shoot the basketball. That's not to make your kid feel slighted. It's just to say, look, in sports, that's how it is. Everybody wants to win. Everybody works hard. Everybody wants to do their best. And sometimes you have to sit back and just say, give them a tip of the cap. For a lot
I think one more point is when they do well, when they do really well, when they pitch a one hit or get the game-winning hit, I don't pump them up on the other end either. It's the same thing. I'm proud of what you did today, and that's it. You move on because you don't want the success to kind of overshadow the inevitable failure.
Yeah, it's one thing for a kid to certainly want to enjoy the day and feel good about what they did, but it's important to keep it all in moderation because there'll be other days as well where things may not go the same way. So, hey, Mike, thank you.
Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. Thank you. I mean, this is important parenting Because, again, we all know that there are no givens in sports. There's no guaranteed wins, no guaranteed situations where your kid's going to succeed. Every event is different. And as I said, it takes a while for young people, for young kids who are involved in sports to come to grips with the reality that the other team wants to win too. And they have dreams and hopes and aspirations. And sometimes you have to understand that, you know, today was their day, not your day. And, you know, you did your best and things didn't happen the way you wanted to happen. But you got to give basically a tip of the cap and salute the other team. It was they had a fine day and they prevailed. Let's move on. Let's go to Frank in Brooklyn. Frank, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Good, Frank.
I've coached your league for over 30 years. And basically what I tell my kids, as it's been expressed earlier, do your best, have fun. And the thing I tell them is, this is all practice. You got kids playing, the outfield, field, and everything else. Listen, as soon as you start getting paid for what you're doing here, just have fun. It's all practice. I tell my son and all my kids that.
Well, I got to tell you, it's sound advice, Frank. I do think, though, that sometimes we have to sort of explain to the kids that when we go say go out and have fun, that, you know, the kids aren't stupid. And they look out from the field and they see that the stands are full of moms and dads and parents and whatever. And they must sense right away when they're, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old that we're being told to go out and have fun. But clearly this game must have some importance, because otherwise all the parents wouldn't be here. So,
well,
you know,
I do tell them that, but I tell them also that just relax. You're going to be doing this maybe a lot of years, but just relax. And I tell them again, it's like all practice until you're getting paid for this. Relax, have fun. And it does relax. And then I do tell them that in sports, for the most part, unless you're playing chess or something like that, it's going to be a winner and a loser. And like was mentioned a few times, there's some days the team is just better than you are.
Yep. Yep, Frank, I'm telling you, I think we're all on the same page. Thanks for the call this morning. You know, and that's something that, again, coaches, youth coaches, never take things for granted when you tell your youngsters about, look, you know, relax. Explain that what you want them to do when you say relax, or explain to them that it's just a game. We're here to have fun. Take the time to explain what that means, and explain to them also that, look, if you're going to play baseball or softball in particular, these are tough sports to play, and most of those sports are comprised of failure and disappointment. Let them know that and reassure them over and over again that you're going to make errors, you're going to strike out, you're going to do things that don't work out well. That's okay. That's all part of the process of learning the game of baseball or softball. And again, the same thing in other sports as well. You're going to miss shots in basketball. You're going to throw incomplete passes in football. You're going to drop passes. You're going to do a lot of things that don't feel good at the time, but it's all part of the journey, the whole process of playing sports. Let's go on. Let's go to Joe in New Milford. Hey, Joe, you're on the Fan.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. I'm driving right now. My son and my backseat is 7. We're on our way to the East Coast Championships at the judo tournament, big tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And in judo, everything, you know, it's a one-on-one as opposed to the sport. So any minor little mistake in a split second, you can go from winning to losing. And at first, you know, he would take it very hard. But as his coach, his coach is a 3-time Olympian who's had her share of losses along the way. She's taught him that, you know, everybody loses. Some days, you know, someone's just that much better, that much faster, that much stronger, and you
right.
go back to work. The other part, to reiterate what the gentleman had said before, is we're always proud of him. I tell him that before the matches, after the matches, during the matches, and there's always going to be another chance. Today he'll probably have 6 to 8 matches, and, you know, hopefully he'll come out ahead. But if he doesn't, he just he'll be upset for a little while, but generally, he bounces back pretty quick, but it took a little while to get there, and it's going to be 8 in a month, but, you know, it's definitely a growing experience, and we're glad we do it, and we make the sacrifices to get him, you know, to these tournaments, because he loves it.
Yeah, well, Joe, I'm glad you mentioned about the fact that, you know, kids have to learn to stay in the moment, because, you know, that's an important lesson that the parents can can educate their kids about at a very early age, meaning that, okay, if something happens in the course of a day, like a match that your son's involved in and things don't go their way, if they basically are distracted and they grouse about it and can't seem to get beyond it, that's going to ruin the rest of the events.
Of course.
You know, and that's, you can't do that. You got to teach kids in an early age that, you know, sometimes a call against go against you, or things, you know, get a tough break in the middle of the game. You can't basically be distracted or stew about it. You think about it, you feel the pain for a few seconds, and then you move on.
Well, you made an excellent point, because a lot of these matches end, you know, they're so tightly contested that they end because of a penalty. You know, once time runs out, if one, you know, child has more penalties than the other one,
yep.
You know, even though a technique isn't completed, you know, the one with more penalties loses. So there's been a fair share of gold medals lost, you know, one penalty to nothing because both kids left it all out on the mat. But it's important, you know, and his sensei, Salita Schutz, she's an amazing coach, and she makes sure that, number one, her first thing is to have fun. Her second thing is to believe in what she's taught and just leave it out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's an amazing coach, and we're glad to have her.
Well,
and then the last thing I want to say, and I'll let you go, is there's peripheral, you know, benefits to all this. And like today we're going to have the honor of meeting one of our current Olympians. In a few months he'll be out in Rio representing us. So, you know, there's all these things, these friendships you make, these bonds you make with other teams, with other opponents, and you get to meet all these amazing athletes and you know, good, positive people that
As you said, that's one of the great side benefits of having kids involved in sports and meeting their heroes and that kind of thing. Joe, thank you for the call. And yeah, that is part of the whole essence of kids getting involved in sports and developing the right perspective on life. Please check out AskCoachWolf.com. I'm in the process right now of booking speaking events for the fall semester, so please go to AskCoachWolf.com if you would like me to come and speak to your group of sports parents. And we're talking this morning about what do you say or how do you prepare your youngster in games when, let's face it, you hope and pray they succeed and have a big day, but sometimes things just don't go their way. And how do you handle the delicate situation of being a good sports parent when your kid, quite frankly, doesn't succeed? And it's, let's face it, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, and it is the whole interaction, the psychological processes of sports parent and youngster. It's delicate. I mean, I was actually at a wedding just last night, and the father of the bride was saying how for years his daughter, who was a terrific tennis player in her youth, that she wouldn't allow him to actually watch her play in her tennis matches. She just didn't want, I guess, the added pressure of knowing dad is watching her perform. So he would obviously drive her to all the various events around the area. But during the course of her match, he would have to be off somewhere else to the side. And she didn't want to have him watch. And then after the tennis was over for the day, they would drive back. But again, it was something that stayed with him because he felt he had to honor his daughter's wishes. Again, all part of the process of being a good sports parent. 1-877-337-6666. Let's go to Michael in Virginia. Michael, good morning. You're on the fan.
Hey, good morning, Coach. Another great show, another great topic.
Thank you.
One thing that I like to try to use when I, talking to my own son, have fun. And, you know, a few of your parents already echoed that earlier. But I stress that point of having fun throughout the game, before the game, and even understanding that, hey, you're going to make a mistake, you're going to win some, you're going to lose some, and you keep on moving. And I started him with this earlier on from rec league all the way through college. And I told him, I said, when you stop having fun, then maybe that's when you stop playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not having fun with it all the time.
Right.
You know, and stressing the point of it's not always by the win. Some games you learn lessons. And when you learn that lesson, you have won more than any other win on the scoreboard can never bring you, especially if it was a crucial situation where, you know, we as parents, we're stressing, we're in the stands, we're yelling, we're screaming, we're carrying on, but you learned something about the game or you took your game to another level based upon that one experience, that's a lifelong win. That's a win in itself.
Yeah, Michael, I agree, and obviously you clearly have all the right priorities in the way you raised your son. I mean, I think these are lessons that, you know, for a lot of people, it may not come naturally, and, you know, they need to hear these kind of approaches because, again, there was a time when fun was always a top priority when it came to kids playing sports, and over the years, I guess because the competition's gotten ratcheted up, but fun seems to drift down further and further on the list of priorities. And making sure that the kid understands it's about having fun, and when it's not fun, maybe that's the time to take a break or to walk away from that sport, because it's without having fun involved in it, that drive and the inner passion begins to sort of dwindle away.
Exactly. You know, and I even stress that point even to this day. And my son's currently now playing professionally basketball. And I stress that point. And I see him coming out the tunnel. First thing I yell to him, hey, have fun.
Yeah.
Enjoy yourself. And we keep on moving.
Yeah. Hey, Michael, thank you for the call. Good stuff. Appreciate it.
All right, Coach.
Take care.
Have a great show.
You know, and one thing I just listened to Michael and how he had raised his son, who I guess parents pretty good basketball player and gone on from high school to college to pro ranks. You have to remind your son or daughter, if they're going to play sports, you know, on the flip side, when they're celebrating their big moment, somebody had to throw the pitch that ended up in the game-winning hit. Imagine how that pitcher feels. Or somebody got beat on that long TD pass in the last quarter. Somebody was in goal when the winning score took place. All those kids who were on the wrong side of the ledger that day, they all have parents. And obviously those kids have set feelings and sensibilities as well. You have to be aware of that. And I think that's the real concern here, that when it comes to really trying to educate our kids about the experience of playing sports, you got to be careful of this. You got to be very, very careful what you say and what you do. Let's take one quick phone call from Greg out in North Brunswick. Greg, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Hi, how are you?
Good, Greg. You got about 30 seconds, our friend. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say, you know, you got to teach the kids how to look at the situation. You know, did you ask yourself, did you leave every ounce of energy on the field? And what can you learn from your mistakes or from what happened to turn a negative experience into a positive one?
Yep.
And that's how we grow as players, by learning from our mistakes and, you know, teach them how to look at the negative side of things and turn it into something that they can learn and grow from.
Greg, I agree 100%, and thanks for the call, because, quite frankly, it's an old truism in sports, but most kids, most young athletes learn more from a defeat than they do from a victory. And that's important. I mean, they have a chance to reflect upon what they did that day. They may not have won, but if they can extract or distill some lessons of what I can do better next time, that's key.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Really good advice this morning from the callers. Everything from do your best, to tell your kids always do your best, but you can do your best if you practice and then have more practice. Always understand that give your kid a little space after a tough loss. Tell them to, of course, give a tip of the cap to the opposing team, the team that's victorious on that day. Some days it's their time to shine. Always remind your youngsters that failure is clearly a major part of any game. There are no guaranteed winners, but failure is always part of the game. And coaches, you know, you got to be sensitive to your kids and their psyches, particularly when they're young. Don't be so much in a rush to change the lineup or to bench the kids. Give them some confidence. Give them the sense of that they can go out and do their thing and do well. And, of course, as always, you want to be able to learn from any kind of defeat along the way.
Well, folks, you had a chance to listen to some great commentary and a great show from Coach Rick Wolf off of WFAN out of New York.
As you see, Parents Coaching Parents Network had a chance to chime in on the conversation as well as I have had the pleasure of doing on several of his shows. And just simply sharing some of my thoughts or some of my views on some of my ways that I've managed to help my child reach his level of success. And in doing so, we must understand that these things are lifelong lessons. It's not an optional thing. It's a thing that we must do. We must be there. We must be supportive. We must at least be able to show that in the end, we are still there, still dad, whomever, grandma, granddad, whoever. We're still there to help guide them in their choices as they move forward in life. I have another little quick piece that I just wanted to share with you pertaining to sports parents as well. And then we're going to prepare to wrap up here for the evening. Of course,
check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
Parents, let's talk about your child in sport. If your child is already playing some kind of sport or wanting to give sport a try, there are some key things you need to know in order to make sure that your child has a safe and successful sport experience. Getting involved in competitive sport can be a great choice for your child, but we all have to think of the child first and make sure their experience is a quality, fun sport experience. It doesn't matter if your child's dream is to make it big one day or simply to remain active for life. A quality sport experience is crucial to healthy child development. How do we ensure that? It starts with the right coach. You have to find a coach who follows the principles of healthy child development in their practices and games. Here are the five high five principles that you have to look for so that your child develops in a healthy way through sport. Principle one, is the coach a caring adult? A positive and supportive relationship with an adult helps children develop positive social skills, a strong self-esteem, and positive peer interactions. A good coach will make a child feel safe, both physically and emotionally, and will be welcoming to everyone regardless of their diversity and uniqueness. Principle 2. Does the coach help the children make friends? Friends help children learn about a bigger world beyond their own neighborhood and family. Friends share in humor, offer support, and provide healthy criticism. Having friends in sport is what makes sport so much fun. Friends in sport can become friends for life. Principle 3. Does the coach allow for structured and unstructured play? Sport can get boring if we have to follow the same structured rules all the time. Kids learn through play, and a good coach will provide some time at practices to allow the child to shape their own environment, use their imagination, and develop a variety of sport skills through a variety of activities. Just two more principles to go. Principle 4. A good coach needs to create opportunities for mastery, opportunities that make your child feel that they are getting better at something. They do this by making sure your child is participating at their own skill level and having success. A good coach will make sure the equipment is the proper size for your child and that the rules aren't too difficult to understand. A good coach makes sure the activity is at the right level so that your child knows they're getting better, even if it's a little bit at a time. The last principle is participation. Fun comes from doing. A good coach makes sure that your child is participating at their own comfort level. Children need to make choices, have a voice, and do things by and for themselves. A good coach will have activities planned so that your child is moving a lot, remaining interested, and is totally motivated to be there. But the coach is just one part of a great sport experience. The rest is up to you. You need to know how to identify and avoid being the pushy parent that can sometimes take the fun out of sport, hurt a child's healthy development, and can even negatively affect the relationship between you and your child. Here are a few tips on how you could avoid some sport parenting pitfalls. Tip number one, focus on what your child is learning instead of winning or losing.
Sure, it's fun to motivate children to beat the other team, but if they lose the game, they may feel really bad about themselves. Instead, encourage them to practice for personal improvement and growth reasons. This way, your child will participate in sport because they are having fun and are passionate about the sport. And passion is a great driver for success. Tip number two, talk to your child about managing their emotions around winning and losing. Make every loss a teachable moment and see it as a gift to further their growth instead of a negative event. Ages 6 to 12 are when children are developing confidence and resilience. By turning a game loss into a teachable moment, you are making sure that they are learning how to deal with setbacks later on in life in a positive way. Tip number three, let the coach coach and the referees ref. Let your child see how you respect the leaders in sport, no matter how old the leaders are. Your child may be one of those leaders one day. Children tend to model what their parents do, so being a positive role model will help your child develop in a positive and healthier way. And one more thing. Don't forget that an active start begins at home. Instead of overscheduling your child in sport, think about how finding a few minutes for some play at home can go a long way. Playing what your child wants to play can be a wonderful family moment. Even if you're not physically literate as a parent, why not give physical activity and sport a go? And try to get a little bit better today than yesterday. Playing and moving your body can be fun. It's not just your child who deserves a little more fun. You deserve a little more fun, too. You can learn more about High Five and healthy child development in sport and recreation.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
I work at a small Catholic private school in an affluent neighborhood where kids get to go to trainers from third grade.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
I'm passionate about sports, and I think youth sports has so much that we can give to our kids, all those life lessons. Parents have the best intentions, even when they sort of go berserk on the sidelines. We all saw that video of the hockey dad who was upset about the rough play on the ice, and with all good intentions, he went down to confront the coach, and it turned out disastrously.
Get the wheels on the bus!
Way to go, Paul.
Let's go.
Usually when we go berserk on the sidelines as a coach or as a parent, it's all about winning. And yet, if you ask parents to list what they want for their kids, winning doesn't come up high on the list at all. They want them to learn hard work, determination, perseverance, how to deal with defeat. And all those are learned, win or lose. One of the things I'll do is I'll actually hand out pieces of paper and give my parents and say, hey, just make sure you don't have your own kid's name on this piece of paper. I want you to look at that child today and find two good things he does in today's game. So what I've done is I've given him the role of the coach for a day. Don't try to get into that post-game analysis so quick. Let's just say he missed the winning play, whistle blows, he plops into the seat next to you on the ride home. What do you say to him? And sometimes we just say, you know what? Say nothing. Just go to Wendy's and get the Frosty. Because that's really what they want. Let's say you had to miss a game. How many times have you been on a business trip or whatever and you missed your game and you call your little son or daughter and say, hey, Matthew, that's my son's name, how'd you do today? What if Matt had his worst game of the year? You've just put all the pressure on Matt. How did you do today? How about a different question? Hey, Matt, who made a great play on your team today? You've got him talking about his teammates, which is one of our goals, to get him to be team players, all because of just the way I asked the question. It all comes down to what's your goal as a parent. It can't be the college scholarship. or winning or the record. If your goal truly is the life lessons, that's going to occur through the good and the bad.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
Well, folks, this has been another wonderful show. It's been fun. It's been real fun, as always. I thank you for joining us this evening. Had a number of callers on the line, but it looked like quite a few of our normal callers, so I didn't anticipate them really having any questions. So as a result, I discontinued on with the show. But as always, at any given time, you can always reach us at 917-889-8095. I'll say that number again. 917-889-8095. On that note, I think we're going to close out here. I know it's a few minutes early, but we're just going to simply close out and hope that you enjoy the rest of your weekend as you prepare for your next upcoming work week. So, again, I'm M.H. Scott, the host of the Parents of the Parents Network here on Blog Talk Radio, and you have a wonderful day. What's left of it. All right, Keith, take it away.